And so we couldn't, I couldn't come in business as usual this week. I couldn't come in and be like, let's experience the tangible presence like we always do. Let's hear this apostolic and prophetic word, and then let's go to Koinonia, eat some chicken, and then go home. Things have shifted. Things have shifted. And I'm not just talking about what happened last Wednesday. That was definitely a defining moment. But I'm talking about the things that happened before Wednesday and the things that happened after Wednesday and the things that will continue to happen. We are in a time where we're seeing the reality of what Isaiah 60 says when it says darkness covers the earth and the people. We are seeing people allowing darkness not just to be in the atmosphere, but to enter them. So much to the point where if you don't agree with someone, now they feel it's okay and justified to take a life. And some, because they didn't agree with that person, feel like it's okay and justified to not have empathy for their family. And I get concerned when I see things like that, because it shows the reality of the scripture of hearts of men are waxing cold. But as believers, the Lord has never called us to allow our hearts to become cold. He tells us to pray for our enemies and those who despitefully use us. So regardless of how you feel about a person and their political and social stance, that does not negate the commandment to pray for them and to pray for their transformation, that they will come into the knowledge of the truth. Because Jesus said that if we love those who love us, we are no different than unbelievers. But I'm seeing believers acting no different than unbelievers. And what the Lord spoke to me prophetically, and I said it earlier, but I'm going to say it again for the sake of those who are just joining the live stream, is that in the body of Christ, some have allowed the social issues that plague our culture to trump the word of God. And they have allowed their feelings about social issues, whether it be the hurt because of a system that's break people, or whatever it is, they allow that to trump the word. We know this system is not designed for people's benefit. Nobody, regardless of the ethnic group, because the system of the world was designed by a spiritual enemy that hates all of mankind, because we are made in the image of God. And so we have to be very careful and very discerning of what's happening behind the scenes, because this desensitization or having a lack of sensitivity, I was about to say a word and it wasn't coming out. This lack of sensitivity to violence didn't just start, but seeds have been planted all along through media, through movies, through music, through all of these various means, which is why we have to watch what we watch and watch what we listen to, especially now that more darkness is covering the earth. Have you noticed that things that we see have become extremely more demonic? Have you noticed that even cartoons now, that something is supposed to be geared for children entertainment, has become demonic? Have you noticed the various attacks of oppression that even try to attack the people of God? to where they even feel either exhausted or constantly battling some type of sickness. It's because these things are in the world. But God has given us victory. Jesus said he overcome the world. And because we are in him, we've already overcome. Say, I'm an overcomer. Say, I'm an overcomer. Say it again. Say it from your chest. And so I want to encourage you for these next couple of minutes to realize that you are an overcomer. And so you have to walk in covenant confidence. The Lord has been speaking that through our apostle, and then he started saying some stuff to me. And I just really feel like this emphasis that we need to have confidence in his covenant. Because regardless of what you think, what I see prophetically is a stage being set for what it talks about in Matthew 24, where it says, and people will kill you for my sake. We see a stage being set where it's okay to murder for a difference of opinion. We see a precedent that the enemy is trying to set for a time of tribulation against the believer. And so I'm going to remind you of our definition of covenant confidence, and then I'm going to share a couple of other things with you that the Lord spoke to me actually 2 weeks ago. It was funny. He spoke it to me 2 weeks ago, and I would say, so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, on September 4th, I was going to release it online, but the Lord told me not to. And I was like, okay. So then he was like, September 11th. It's like, okay. Not knowing all the things that would happen that week. So then the very next day, I'm speaking this word, and I'm like, wow, this thing is more, has a greater weight than even what I thought. So covenant confidence is this, is when you are completely persuaded of God's love towards you. It's the revelation that God is fulfilling his word in your life and concerning all that concerns you. It's the recognition that God is and will continue to demonstrate his power, release his resources, and move in unprecedented ways to confirm his covenant and use you as a catalyst to establish his covenant further in the earth. Where you go, Eric? I felt something. I felt something. I was like, wait a minute. And so we have to maintain this position of covenant confidence. Because what I also see is how, and we pray, we spend some significant time in intercession during our expressions of worship. Because, you know, prayer is an expression of worship. And we spent significant time interceding for the nation and the nations. Because one of the things I see as well as is incidents like that try to bring a disposition and atmosphere of fear. So when now God tells someone to speak something, speak the truth in love, now there's the potential for hesitation or fear because they're thinking, well, if I say this and the culture doesn't like it, am I going to receive death threats? Is this going to try to happen? Or is that going to try to happen? So we see now this thing of fear. But the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit or disposition of fear. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. So we have to be confident in our covenant. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? Because he is faithful that promised. Say, God is faithful. Every promise he's made towards you personally and everything he's spoken about what you will do in the earth, he's faithful to perform it through you. You just have to yield and submit to him. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, say confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. You know, one translation says endurance. That after you have done the will of God, you shall receive the promise. Now, Hebrews 10:36 is very interesting because it talks about endurance. So it's not talking about just waiting on something to happen. It's talking about you may have to endure some things while seeing the promise being fulfilled in your life. Now, because the King James says, while, but the New American Standard says, after. And I remember asking a group of people, which one is it? Do you receive the promise after you've done His will? Or do you receive it while you're doing His will? Because one translation says one way, another translation says another way. And if we're not careful, we would think that the translators didn't agree and they're contradicting each other. But if we understand how language is interpreted and we understand God, some things are an and, not either or. So for some, we may see the fulfillment of the promise while we're doing the will of God. For others, we may see the fulfillment after we've done the will of God. But whichever way it lays out for you, you have to be patient and have endurance and confidence in your covenant with God. Hebrews 11 and 11 says this. Well, let me speak something else to you. So the phrase that the Lord spoke to me 3 weeks ago, He says, September, speak. And I was like, wait a minute, what is this? And I, you know, of course, when the Lord woke me up with it, it was like 4 a.m. And I'm like, okay. You know, my daughter cracked a joke yesterday and was like, Jesus, can we talk about stuff during regular business hours? So when He says September speak, I was like, okay, so this is the month for us to speak. But we know September, according to our calendar that we use, is the 9th month. We know the 9th month. The number 9 refers to birthing and bringing things forth. We know women, when they are pregnant with a baby, they carry the baby 9 months. We know if they carry the baby longer than 9 months, it's not good. It's a serious problem for the mom and the baby. If they bring the baby before 9 months, we know that is the baby, excuse me, the baby is born premature. So we have to look, and this time, what we are beginning to see, because the Lord was clear to say beginning to see, is that this is a time to birth. Things are going to be birthed out of His people. The things that have been developed on the inside of you, that's been incubated, that's been growing, that's been maturing, that He's been stirring in you, this is that time to release it. Remember the last time I shared, I told you the Lord told me prophetically that we were transitioning and stepping into the full, into a fulfillment of what He has spoken. And so this is like a continuation of that, because it's time to birth something. Now, when you think about a baby in the natural, when it's birthing season or time for the baby to come forth, it means the womb that the baby was in, the place that was a place of safety, a place of comfort, a place where nutrients were released, no longer had the capacity to hold what needed to come forth. So it had to be birthed. And so places of safety and comfort no longer have the capacity to sustain you. And so it's time for you to step into the fullness of what God has for you. And when I'm talking about the fullness of what God has for you, I'm not talking about just you personally, because I want to speak to you prophetically, because when you step into the fullness of what God has for you, it impacts the greater plan He has in the earth. Because you and your voice are needed. So then He told me, He took me to Hebrews 11:11, and it says, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability, the King James says strength, to conceive. Now, a lot of times we think about Abraham, how he believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. But we don't think about Sarah had to be the one to conceive, birth that thing. God could promise all day to Abraham, but he also had to get Sarah in a position to receive strength to conceive. Because he told Abraham multiple times, through Sarah, not Hagar, through Sarah. And for some of you, I even hear that prophetically right now. They're not Hagar, through Sarah. Some of you have been wrestling with trying to birth forth something through Hagar, and then God is saying, no, through Sarah. So it says she received ability or strength to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful, say faithful, who had promised. She trusted in his covenant and recognized that God is faithful and a covenant-keeping God. So by faith, she received strength. See, a lot of the strength is going to come upon you in this season as you recognize that God is faithful and he's a covenant-keeping God. And the fact that he's a covenant-keeping God, that's the basis of you operating and living by faith. Now, the word September comes from a Latin word, septem, which means seven. The original Roman calendar had September as the seventh month of the year versus the ninth month. So when you look at even that, the fact that what the Lord showed me, even in the name September, is we know seven refers to maturity. So we see in this season, not only have things come to maturity and have to be birthed through you, this is an opportunity for us to step into a greater dimension of maturity in our walk with the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 13:9, it says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. No matter how accurate the prophecy is, it's still a part. No matter how detailed a prophecy is, it's still a part. No matter how much we know about God, how much he's revealed to us, it's still a part. Then it says, but when the perfect comes, or the mature comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. In this season, God is saying, look, the way we used to think, speak, and reason is now going to another level. Our thinking, speaking, and reasoning has to be from this more mature place versus the place we are or were currently in. Now, this is so important as we hear the noise that's being released right now. Because God has called us to speak with clarity and with maturity that will cut through noise. Because one of the things he said to me as well is that there's going to be a decrease in noise from those who walk with God intimately. Because he said there's going to be a clearer sound and a more distinct sound released through his people. So as we hear him clearer, and as we speak what we hear, it's going to be a clearer, more distinct sound because there's no noise. Well, because we're going to cut through the noise. It's like, and I used this example the other day, David. When I was in junior high school, or Eric, you definitely would know this. You remember beginning band in school? When I was in junior high school, I was in beginning band. You know they don't do junior high school anymore, but when I went, that's the thing. Sixth, seventh, and eighth grade was junior high school. So instead of they putting sixth and seventh graders with K-5 and all of that stuff, or seventh graders with seniors in one big building, that's a little interesting. So, but when I was in school, when I went to the sixth grade, they put me in beginning band because I was playing the trumpet. And it's so funny, it just hit me, it's so funny that my first instrument was a trumpet, and the Lord uses my voice like a trumpet. Jesus. And so I get in, we're in beginning band, and we think we're professionals, and we're only 2 weeks in. And we were making what the Bible would describe as a joyful noise. Because we're playing, we're making sound, but it's not clear nor distinct. And those of you who are parents, you know what it's like to have a child in beginning band. When you hear them practicing every day, it's like, go to your room and close the door. And then when you have to go to the beginning band concert, you go to support, but you're sitting there thinking that you have to suffer a little while. Because you're thinking, you're cheering them on for the effort. But when you get out of beginning band, you get to advanced band. And then when I got to high school, there was symphonic band and jazz band and marching band. And I stopped playing football so I could be in jazz band. And in jazz band, the parents didn't come just to support and feel like they had to suffer through. They came because they knew they were going to hear some good music. Because now we had grown to the point where our sound was clear and more distinct, and together we made beautiful music. And this is what the Lord is saying about us. There was a season in the body of Christ where we were making joyful noise. Everybody was saying whatever online and doing whatever and saying whatever in the houses of worship. And it was a bunch of noise because it wasn't clear nor distinct nor unified. But in this season, I believe God is causing us to have a clearer sound as a body of Christ. So where the sound that is released from his people is clear and more distinct and cuts through the noise. Because noise is going to increase from unbelievers. Noise is going to increase from those who don't walk with God. But there's going to be this dual reality, and we're seeing it now, this dual reality where there's an increase in noise, but then there's also a clear sound coming from the believer because a decrease in their noise that they released. God is calling us and calling you to step into the place where your life, your words, cut through the noise. Say, I have to speak. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says this, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. See, what's been happening is people have been trying to speak truth without love. They've been trying to speak it without grace, speak it without mercy. But apostles spoke a month or so ago when he was teaching about nothing but the truth. He spoke prophetically and said that there would be an increase of people speaking truth. But then he said, truth always is accompanied by grace and mercy. And it is always spoken in love. Because when you speak the truth, there's opportunity for offense. And so this is a time for us to speak boldly and not be fearful, but we have to remember how God wants us to speak. Speaking the truth in love is not speaking from a place of timidity. You can speak boldly, but you can also speak wisely. And this is what the Lord is inviting us into. He said, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. So we can prophesy, we can have knowledge, we can use our faith to cause the supernatural to happen. Miracles, signs, and wonders through us, but if we don't have love, we're nothing. Then it says, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So the intention behind the deed is everything, and the intention must be loving God and loving people. Jesus said, well, John said it this way in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. This is how God could tell somebody, I never knew you. Even those who casted out demons in his name and worked miracles in his name, he's like, look, I didn't know you because you didn't love. This is a space we have to step into. As hearts are getting colder, ours have to remain tender to the Lord and to his people and to all people. Because we don't know who is his people that we just don't know yet. We don't know who God is drawing, who God is bringing close to himself. So another thing, I forgot to set my timer, so I'm trying to watch my time. So if somebody know when I started, let me know. And when I get close to 30 minutes. So the Lord said that this month we begin to see. He said, he spoke this phrase to me and said, atmospheric pressure. And I was like, what's that? You know, sometimes the Lord speaks something to you to make you go study, to make you search something out. I'd be like, Lord, you are highly intelligent because I must now search this thing out to find these definitions of what it means just so I can understand what you're saying to me. But I love the way God does that because it forces us to grow. So he spoke this word atmospheric pressure. And so when I researched it, atmospheric pressure is the weight of air pressing on the earth and is measured as the force that air exerts on surfaces. Now, the cause of atmospheric pressure is when the gases that are in our atmosphere, which is mostly nitrogen and oxygen, when gravity pulls those gases to the earth, creating weight. Now, what the Lord said to me when I was looking at this, he's saying that there are things that are available to us because of our covenant that we must now begin to pull on from the realm of the spirit into the earth. And it's creating a weightiness that's going to come upon you. So as you walk in the fulfillment of what God has said to you, as you begin to speak what he tells you to, you're going to notice a greater weight being upon you. A greater anointing, weight of the anointing upon you. Remember, the scripture says that burdens are to be removed and yokes will be destroyed because of the anointing. But one translation of that verse says the fatness, meaning the strength or the weight of a thing. So even as you start, continue to do what God has called you to do, expect a greater weight to be upon you. Not a weight of heaviness, but a weight of his glory to be upon you. Paul said it this way, that he counted those afflictions, the momentary light afflictions, they paled in comparison to the exceedingly weight of glory. Some of you have been dealing with afflictions to up to this point, and now you can expect a weight of glory. So there's a greater weight of glory that's being released upon you for this time, for this season. And there are things that are stored up for you that are your benefits of the covenant that you have to pull into your reality by faith. Because you know what belongs to you. You must know what belongs to you. And you must refuse to accept anything less than what God has said. Now let me, of course there's more, but I'm gonna just share one last thing. Well, let me take you to Ezekiel 37 first. Ezekiel 37, verse 9. We know this is very familiar. It's when Ezekiel is in the was in the valley of the dry bones, and he had to prophesy to the bones and all of those things. But listen to this. Verse 9 says, then he, talking about God, said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe on these slain that they come to life. There are things that you thought were dead, things that didn't have life, that God is breathing upon in this season. There is fresh life coming up to you and upon you. And then it says, so I prophesied as he commanded me. Going to what we said earlier, God is bringing us to this space where we only speak what we hear him say. He prophesied as he was commanded. And it says, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come out your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Listen, that's saying so much. Listen, those who feel like their hope is gone, those who are feeling hopeless, they're thinking, well, maybe God isn't going to do it, or maybe he changed his mind, or maybe I missed my season, or maybe it wasn't for me, that thing is coming back around again, and God is bringing fresh hope and expectation because he is going to fulfill what he said. And he's going to bring you into the place he's promised you. You have to be confident in your covenant with God. Say confidence. He also said this, and I'm going to close with this. There was some more, but I'm not going to share it today. He said that, look in verse 14 of Ezekiel 37. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life. I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it. See, we have to know that God doesn't just speak, he does it. He's not just speaking it, he's doing it. But here's the thing. When I read my spirit, I will place my spirit within you and you will come to life. This is what I heard. The some people that have doubts or misunderstandings about tongues and supernatural languages, God is about to bring clarity. It seems like every quarter, if you track it, and I've been tracking it, it's like every 3 months, every 90 days, you hear something of somebody saying you shouldn't speak in tongues in public, or if you speak in tongues, you have to have an interpreter, or you got to have the gift of tongues to speak in tongues. We see all of this confusion in the body of Christ and even impacting people we know. But here's the thing, God is clearing that up. And I had to wonder, like, Lord, why does the enemy fight praying in supernatural languages so much? One, because it's a necessity. Because Holy Spirit intercedes through us and prays the perfect plan of God. When we pray in tongues, we're speaking to God on his level, not ours. Because we could be praying here, but we pray in tongues, we pray here. And it builds up our most holy faith. How can we live by faith when we're not building up our most holy faith? Because the just must live by what? Faith. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. Without faith, it's impossible to do what? Please God. We've all been given the measure of what? Faith. The life we live by the faith of the Son of God. So faith is a key ingredient that allows us to access and walk in and receive all the benefits of the covenant. And sometimes we don't know in the natural how these benefits are going to be our reality, so we have to pray in the Holy Ghost. And so the misunderstandings and the confusion that we hear about this, God is going to clear it up. What I clearly saw is that people who don't even believe in tongues are all of a sudden going to start praying and speaking. Churches that try to kick you out for speaking in tongues are all of a sudden, everybody in there are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because God is bringing his body to a specific place where we all release the sound of his voice, and the world hears the voice of God like the sound of many waters. Thank you, Jesus. I know I said last thing, but this is really the last thing, so I'm looking at my clock. Because this has to be very important for you to understand. God said, especially look at everything that's going on in the world, what ministry looks like in houses of worship are being redefined. So if you come waiting for someone to pump you up, or if you're looking for a religious experience, pretty soon you won't be able to find one. You won't find one here at Ayers, but you won't be able to find one anywhere else, because how ministry is done is being redefined. But also, when you come into this house, you have to come with expectation, because we say at Ayers, you never know. Because the Lord has graced us to stay open to whatever he's doing and to all that he's doing. And we're not afraid to go with him. We're not afraid to spend 30 minutes of a worship gathering in intercession versus having someone sing and say, come on, let's praise the Lord. There's going to be spaces where there'll be times where we come together and just pray. And not because we called a special prayer service, is because we just came and his presence was so intense and we sensed that he was inviting us to just pray or lay before him. The feeling of having church is gone, and the reality of authentic worship is come and is coming. So it's no more I had good church today. It's I worshiped with my people today. And I experienced the true and the living God. There's a new place of expression of worship and intimacy that's being released. But he's bringing us back to the authentic. He's stripping down the stuff that don't matter. And bringing us to this place where we worship in spirit and in truth. And for those who are in business, he said, your kingdom business is about to be redefined. It doesn't matter if you are a course creator, coach, or consultant. How you do business is about to be redefined. But then he also said, those who have brick and mortar businesses. Like there's a member in this house who has a beauty salon. Those who have brick and mortar businesses, he said, your business is about to become a house of prayer. Not only are you going to be praying for your business and over your business and with your team, but you're going to be praying for the people you serve. Because this weightiness that's upon us is from the glory of God. But there's also a weightiness and a pressure that's coming from the demonic. And there are more people who are going to be walking around under oppression, meaning there's going to be a heavy weight of hopelessness and all of those things. And I even see it, how the enemy will be trying to push people almost to the brink of suicide, but the Lord is going to send them to you, and you're going to pray for them, and they're going to get free. And so be prepared for your space to be invaded to become a house of prayer. Now, for those of you who work for somebody else, because I hear this in the moment, be prepared for your break times to be interrupted, your lunch times to be interrupted, you leaving thinking, I gotta go, because it's time for me to clock out and I'm not staying 60 seconds later. That's about to get interrupted because somebody is going to stop you and need prayer. And the Lord is going to put it on your heart to lay hands and pray. And then there's freedom is going to happen. You are about to be used as an instrument of deliverance. But it all starts with covenant confidence. Because this is part of the promise of God. See, the promise is not just for you to be blessed, have your nice house, have your nice car, be on the beach taking selfies. Selfies of you smiling, selfies of your feet where they can see the pool and then your toes and ankles. That's good too, because he gives us richly all things to enjoy. But the other part is you being a blessing. As God fulfills his word, people are going to call you a blessing and they're going to bless God for you. Because you're going to make the difference in them giving up or believing God. Thank you, Lord. You receive that word? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.